got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, April 8th, 2022. I went to Hackaday. Not that you can't go other places, but I did a search for radio repeater, and 6,857 results came up. Obviously not all related. Here's Scout, smallest fully featured folding quadcopter. I'm pretty sure that's not what I was looking for. But no. Some of these things, you know, and this pulls in some other fun stuff like this one, SBHT, VHF digital radio. SBHT is a data digital voice radio capable of greater than 4 watts of power initially on the VHF ham bands. So, you know, there's all kinds of interesting stuff that is available. And, you know, this stuff is super inexpensive. Here's one. This is what you're talking about, developing a synchronized flooded mesh network to carry codec 2 encoded voice over. This project actually has a solar unit on it. So, interesting. So, I mean, that, you know, you could do a search for that too, but this is... And these things, like this one, also... For the code and stuff that you need, this one has a link to a description on GitHub. A lot of them, like if there's code involved, if you have to code your Raspberry Pi or something, a lot of them have the code hosted on GitHub. So, I mean, you can just Git clone, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not a Latter-day geek. My computer experience goes back into the 70s and early 80s. I was actually a VoTech taking a two-way radio class. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for my teacher to catch a couple of my fellow students up to me so that he could take all three of us through the microwave portion of the program. And so I was just hanging around killing time. And one day, kind of a geeky looking guy shows up and says, is anybody here that could come up and help us fix our computer? And I looked at the teacher and he looked at me and says, go, I'll send somebody for you and we're ready for you. Anyway, I got to up there and they had an IBM 1440. Mm-hmm. If anybody remembers an IBM 1440, mm-hmm. they have to be at least almost as old as I am, because that was a mid-60s mainframe. Anyway, it was dead, and it was a giant boat anchor, okay. And so I had to get into the books, and I had to look up and see how I had to learn how to read an IBM wiring diagram. I had to learn how the computer even basically works, and that was the only integrated circuits they had in those days were like capacitors and resistor thin films on little itty bitty chips. Everything in this computer was standard garden variety transistors. Anyway, I sat down with my ohmmeter. I figured out which circuit boards the problem might be located on. I pulled out a half dozen circuit boards and got my ohmmeter out and desoldered transistors and checked them, because that ohmmeter was the only thing I had to test transistors with. And I found one that the transistor was now a diode with an extra dead lead. So I took it down to Radio Shack and showed it to the guy at Radio Shack, and he pulled out his matching book. Back in those days, it was actually in a book. And he looked up this transistor.
Back in those days, there was actually Radio Shack.
Oh, yeah, well, there still is. Unfortunately, it's been turned into a cellular store now. Mm. But in any case, they... In any case, he found he found an exact match for the thing, and he sold it to me for 39 cents. This was back in the mid 70s, and I took it back to the school and soldered it in and on the circuit board. And I kind of decided to take a chance. You know, I've already been through a couple of these boards, and I think I probably found the problem, because usually it only takes one transistor to do things like that. So I plugged all the circuit boards back in, and the computer roared to life, and now I am God to these programming people.
Right.
Okay, and this intrigued me. It was the first time I'd ever been deified in my life. So I basically, and they hadn't come to get me for the class yet, so I wound up learning IBM 1440 assembler, and then after I got done with that, I moved on to Fortran, because I didn't see any use for COBOL. Mm-hmm. And so I wound up, a couple years later with a certificate from that same school, typed on an Underwood typewriter, extolling my competencies in Fortran programming. I've held on to that. That's a keeper. That certificate's a keeper. But basically since then, I got into IBM 1100 because that was the mainframe we were actually operating on. But I didn't get into the MIPS and the Altair and all of the other so-called PCs. I really didn't get very involved in computers very much at all until the Pocket Mail came out. And very few people even remember the Pocket Mail.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a personal digital assistant with a acoustic modem built into it, that you could actually hold it up to a phone and push the button, and it squawked, and they squawked, and you squawked, and they squawked, and basically that's how you could send and receive your email. Mm-hmm. And that's how I sent. I started out with email only, and
that
I did that
back
until,
in the original ARPANET days.
Well, actually, yeah, but it was in the very early World Wide Web days is when it was, because back in those days you still had the www on everything, and you still needed it on everything. You don't need it anymore, but everybody seems compelled to give it still.
Right,
but the bottom line is,
original ARPANET technology is what I'm saying.
Well, but when it used the same Boudot that the teletype did when I was doing my computer programming on an old Bang It Out Teletype Corporation teletype. But the thing is that when Pocket Mail gave way to other things, I wound up with a Palm Pilot, and I used Palm Pilot until it got loaded up with so much graphic garbage that I had trouble finding my text on the screen. So that's when I moved to a tablet, and subsequently from the tablet onto my first laptop, which, as you were talking about, did get repurposed. It was an old HP gamer machine that basically had a NVIDIA chip in it and all that good stuff. But it also had Vista. And when Vista ceased to be supported by Microsoft, I just put it away and didn't do anything with it until several years later, when I ran into an IT guy in a library that offered to load Linux onto it for me. So he said, "You want to
do lose, Bill?"
I said, No. I don't need Vista. You can get rid of Vista. Just make it a single boot with Linux." And I did a couple of updates on Linux with it before it finally got stuck in a BIOS loop, and it couldn't get out of that. Nobody could get it out of that. So that was the end of my Linux experience. After that, I just went with the Chromebook, and I don't worry about it, because I'm not really that geeky on the hardware.
Yeah. Very interesting, fascinating background. I'm sure that people's eyes are spinning at this point, and we need to go back to the phones. But I appreciate it. And
do you have a good day, Chris?
I would like to. We should probably talk about this stuff off air at some point, because I'm interested in, truly, I think that what you described is something that would be a worthy undertaking. And I think that we have some other folks who might be interested in that as well. And if we sort of pool our collective ignorance, maybe we could figure something out.
Oh, well, I'd be happy to lend my background and my experience right up to, I've still got a general radio telephone operator's license that my first phone got grandfathered into in the mid 80s. So, and I can still go back to it. The problem is I'd have to have a degree in computer engineering to be in broadcasting. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that, you know, those old things, it's still a lot of the same old technology.
Oh yeah, the broadcast chain hasn't changed. The audio chain is totally different.
Hmm.
Radio stations now are overgrown HP MP3 players is all they are.
Yeah. But still, even that technology under the hood, it's not, most of it is, I don't know, by today's standards, it's archaic. It's the same old technology it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
We now have totally solid state radio transmitters on AM and FM. The only place we don't have them yet is in shortwave.
Okay, I'm talking about the software. Talking about the hardware.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Software is something that I haven't played with since the Fortran days.
So we'll have to have that conversation because it's funny, you know, we're hearing about all of this. I've talked a little bit recently about, you know, in my little telethons, like the one that I did on the National Intel Report, what was it, last week, and then picked up where I left off earlier this week, and said if you can help RBN, if you can help Rivero's broadcast and the redoing of what he's doing, or your favorite whatever, I talked about some of the technology, but from a software standpoint, it's funny how, you know, we're not, you know, we keep hearing about this new, fancy, new and improved stuff, but it all goes back to, like, you're talking about Fortran and COBOL and, you know, we hear a lot in the last 5 years or so about object-oriented stuff, and Fortran was object-oriented. COBOL was a DoD project to do what Fortran couldn't, they said.
Well, yeah.
That was object-oriented, structured object-oriented programming. This is not new stuff. We're not really learning anything new. That, you know, and all of the Linux stuff, for that matter, is basically Unix stuff from back in the days when you were working on the IBM.
Admiral Grace Hopper was behind COBOL and Fortran both.
Mm-hmm.
She was involved in the creation of both of those programming languages.
That's actually a story that's been told recently, too.
Oh, it's been retold several times. She was the oldest serving Navy admiral in history.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let her retire very long because they needed her so desperately for her computer knowledge and skills.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, we hear certain things, but
she was also the reason why they named Ada.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, again, Bill, I appreciate it. Much appreciated, and I look forward to discussing this stuff more, and
sure.
Who knows what can come of that. So
yeah, you got my
appreciate
number.
It. Yes, sir.
Talk to you later.
Thanks. Thank you, Bill. In the interest of time, we'll go back to the phones real quick and grab Patrick in Texas. Patrick, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I know you're fixing up on a break here. I just wanted to chime in on the patent office and the copyright office under Serco. And at these day and age, everybody knows who Serco is. They're not really listening to the Patriot movement at all. And everything else is corporations. Like,
isn't it interesting how the Serco conversation doesn't get any mainstream traction? Why is that?
Because the perpetrators are running the
media.
Yeah. That's where y'all guys are really on it. We had to come up with alternate systems. And, I never used it by strawberry or raspberry. And I think I've seen some of that stuff. You can buy it. So it looks like a little bitty card, I think. And
It's a credit card-sized computer. But it's a very powerful little credit card-sized computer.
Well, I'm going to open my eyes today a little bit. And it's like a... So, Marconi, Tesla, I follow that. That's all right. Tesla was the first one to discover it. He also done a communication system for the Navy out of the Anderson transmitter that Eric Dollar used to work at. And they use longitudinal waves, and it's just almost instantaneous communication. It would take 30 minutes to relay one way to Mars and then back. But with this thing, within seconds, and the sub's the same thing. Has no problem going through the water. But of course we're not privy to that. I'm into breaking different codes. Like, how are they doing this to us? Well, the truth of the matter is, like, here reading from Judge Dale's book, the corporate laws and regulations are called statutes. And their effect and control over human being is deceptively attained by consent through civil contracts. It's all a fraud, all of it. If they're running as a corporation, they have no right. It's a legal fiction. But they control the narrative. They control the courts. And and to crack this thing, they're gonna get you a psyche valve, a lot of people like Ezra Pound end up in a sanitarium for the rest of his life.
Well, he was released. It wasn't the rest of his life, but a significant portion, obviously.
That's what they do. They control all of it.
Which, honestly, what you just mentioned, that gets right to the point that I am making when I say, if you go, for example, to the narcissistic personality disorder, if we're going to say that the DSM is the basis for what we call sane or normal in society, then the
psychological manual. Yeah,
and what you describe is something that has been used, as a textbook way to remove people and shut them up throughout history. This is not a new concept, but from the Wikipedia
psychology entry, is a Jewish science.
So it says the DSM-5 indicates that in order to qualify as symptomatic of NPD, or like I always say, any psychological disorder, personality disorder, the person's manifested personality traits must substantially differ from societal norms. Well, who – or social norms. So who decides? And so if Ezra Pound sounds crazy to people who don't know that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor reserve, then I guess we should lock him up.
That's what the media does that all the time. You go in there and they just attack you. They've done a new Kendrick. When did you quit beating your wife?
Show up drunk to church this weekend. Well, does he usually? Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he didn't show up drunk this week.
It's a way of slander, you can't beat a negative like that. It's impossible. Newt handled it well, but it's very difficult. Mudslinging is extremely difficult. It's a very, very powerful system. There's no doubt about it. We got the Supreme Court cases that, there's a Bond versus U.S. where they said we are sovereign, not governments, not states. The people are sovereign. And oh my God, boy, they covered it up. They create a fake case just like it. What they do is they'll bury it under multiple similar names. So that's what we're fighting. They control the whole damn grid. And we're trying to beat that.
We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. It's Friday, so we can do this. We can free associate if we want to. Patrick, I appreciate your call, as always. Much appreciated. You know, that discussion obviously calls to mind eliminationism. Again, you know, if you don't understand what someone like Ezra Pound is talking about, maybe we should make an effort to try to understand him before we go along with the march to essentially imprison him in a psych ward somewhere. That calls to mind a number of discussions that have been had on this broadcast and other places, but, you know, also eliminationism, which, again, I mean, even Wikipedia acknowledges eliminationism is the belief that one's political opponents are political opponents. Are, in the words of Oklahoma City University School of Law Professor Phyllis E. Bernard, a cancer on the body politic that must be excised, either by separation from the public at large in a psych ward, for example, through censorship or a psych ward, or by outright extermination in order to protect the purity of the nation. Doesn't that just like sound like a racist thing to say? It's obviously not, but it has the same seething hatred and animosity. So it's kind of born from the same place. And not a good thing. You know, and the irony is, someone like Ezra Pound, you know, in his efforts, he's just trying to help folks, even folks like Phyllis E. Bernard, which is painfully ironic. And it's her ignorance that's her undoing, unfortunately. But this, so, you know, Patrick mentioned Serco, which, since we're free associating, there was an article early on. I think it was even earlier than this, but if you go to aimfortruth.org, Americans for Innovation, there was an article, Whistleblower Nails Fauci, Rothschilds, Highlands Group, DARPA, DOD, Pirbright, Serco, Kinetic, Goldman Sachs, U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, CIA, and Worldwide Bioterror. This was, I think it was earlier, but it's officially May 11, 2020. This was pretty early on. And so speaking of Serco, this is one of the things that comes to my mind. There are many other things, but this is a very, I mean, my goodness, you know, you read through it. Why did something like this not get done? I don't know. Why didn't CNN do something like this? And the answer is rhetorical. The question is rhetorical, I mean. And obviously the same interests that are responsible for the ultimate piracy and theft and so on are also pulling the strings at mainstream media and essentially own it and control it. So, or maybe it's just control without ownership, as Stuart Chase said. So then the... This, I think, is the early. This is the one that I'm thinking of. Also, speaking of Americans for Innovation, AmericansForInnovation.blogspot.com, which is ironic that it's still up. But Friday, February 28, 2020, this is the earlier one. Coronavirus source discovered. Also uncovers Lord Pirbright, a Rothschild, as key to the 140-year Pilgrim Society monopoly over world society, commerce, and war. Interesting read. We're headed into the weekend if you have time. It's a long read, but again, this is February 20. And so for all those little dots that we've heard about here and there, this is a good... I mean, this is where I think a lot of that information came from, but this really tells the story of... Speaking of Pirbright and the Wellcome Trust and Merck and, I don't know, for that matter, the East India Company, on and on. I mean, this is great stuff. This is a great, if you can digest this, Rio Tinto, et cetera. I mean, this is not just... I mean, this reminds me of the things that we've been talking about. Just as an example, you know, figure one, Henry Rothschild, de Worms, first Baron Pirbright, also called Lord Pirbright. Baron Pirbright's grandmother was Shont Jeanette Rothschild. Her father was Mayor Amschel Rothschild, the founder of the Rothschild colonial banking business, where Pirbright's father, Solomon de Worms, established the Rothschild Coffee and Tea Plantation with slave and nearly slave labor. There's more. I'll read the rest when we come back. But you know, this is just, I mean, this touches on a lot of the things actually that we've discussed. Some of the things that Patrick mentioned, some of the things Bill mentioned. Anyway, connect some dots. Move on when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. All right. So it's Friday. Let's just go full free association mode, kind of. I mean, we could go all kinds of places. Promise, Inslaw comes to mind, and lots of other things. But we'll just go quickly. A flurry of dots. Not all the dots, but some of the dots. So again, these articles speaking of Serco. I mean, this gets really... You know, you start to approach the top of the food chain, so to speak. So, the article or the, you know, research piece, whatever you want to call it, from Americans for Innovation. Again, Americans for the number four, innovation.blogspot.com. This is the 2020, February 28, 2020 piece titled Coronavirus Source Discovered, also uncovers Lord Pirbright, a Rothschild, as key to the 140-year Pilgrim Society monopoly over world society, commerce, and war. But, Chris, the Pilgrim Society is not that old. Well, at least that's what maybe you've been led to believe. So, but, I mean, all this stuff. I mean, the Fabians, you know, that group was obviously seeded by elements of the Royal Society and on and on and on, which reminds me of the reticulated jaws in Alien, you know, just keeps birthing these groups so that you can continue to refine. You can't refine the old group because it is the way that it is. So you birth a new group out of it, which allows you the freedom and flexibility to move faster, but also to give it whatever new direction you need. So it's, you know, it's like launching a little, it's like launching the skiff in the James Bond movies. You know, if you're the arch supervillain trying to get away, to use an analogy, then, you know, you launch your skiff out of your giant yacht or whatever, and it allows you to move faster. So you keep doing that and launching these new projects, a new think tank, a new NGO, a new this that's born out of these things, and it allows you not just the flexibility and the speed, but also plausible deniability, because who knows the history and the handful or fewer of folks who seeded the group with ideas and maybe financial backing and so on and so on. So anyway, from this post, again, down the post, right from the beginning, basically, picture of Henry Rothschild de Worms, first Baron Pirbright. And picking up where I left off, his mother, her father was Mariam Shell Bauer, or Rothschild, Red Sign. Not S.H.I.E.L.D. necessarily, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is misleading. Sign is, oh yeah, it was daddy's money-changing business, and the sign out front, you know, was a red sign, as the story goes. Anyway, the founder of the Rothschild, I like saying Rothschild, red sign, colonial banking business in Ceylon, which is pronounced Ceylon, but actually spelled C-E-Y-L-O-N. And what is that? But now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. It used to be Ceylon. But which country was known as Ceylon? So now we have Sri Lanka. You can find British Ceylon on Wikipedia. And that's a whole different discussion. Speaking of the East India Company and intrigue, you know, and I don't know, for that matter, the Rothschild family of the Holy Roman Empire. Did the Roman Empire really die? Or speaking of the British Empire. All right, I digress. So back to this article. Like I said, a flurry of free association. So, Henry Rothschild de Worms, first Baron Pirbright, his mother, her father was Mayor Amschel Bauer, the founder of the Rothschild colonial banking business in Ceylon, where Lord Pirbright's father, Solomon de Worms, established the Rothschild coffee and tea plantation with slave and nearly slave labor. Pirbright grew up in Ceylon on the Rothschild plantation, where they grew coffee and tea sold through their Rothschild financed British East India Company. At age 45, Baron Pirbright became the British Minister of Trade and Colonies. During those years, just prior to the founding of the Pilgrim Society in 1902, Lord Pirbright promoted Cecil Rhodes, Nathan Mayer Rothschild, Alfred Milner, and John Buchan in the Boer Wars. He also oversaw the British Patent Office when Nikola Tesla began filing his wireless telegraphy patents. Regarding Tesla, Pirbright secretly allowed the British Admiralty and Post Office to steal from Tesla using Guglielmo Marconi as their fake inventor and make monopolistic deals with Marconi Wireless. I think it was, wasn't it Westinghouse who said, hey man, you know, who said to Tesla, hey man, you know, this Marconi guy, he came up with the radio before you. What are you doing? What have I hired you for? And as the story goes, I think it was Westinghouse, but as the story goes, Tesla laughed. I know that Westinghouse wasn't actually the financial backing. We keep having that conversation too, but it was Westinghouse that Tesla was working with. It was their deal, even though Westinghouse wasn't the pockets. So Tesla laughed and said, Marconi used all of my technology. He used a half a dozen of my patents to do what he did. And I'm already on to other stuff. I'm already transmitting energy and information through the, not just, you know, this radio stuff, but bigger and better, funner things that now apparently Raytheon and BAE and other friends are, I guess, still trying to figure out 100 years later. So anyway, continuing with this post, Pirbright also coached Henry S. Welcome. Speaking of, that's Welcome with two L's, the Welcome Trust and so forth. Speaking of slave trade and drug trade and, you know, the monopoly slave and drug trade that hasn't ended, just because we're more, possibly more well-spoken, more, you know, maybe more well-groomed, slaves who have a little more freedom, doesn't mean we're any less slaves, you know. We're house slaves now. So, you know, we don't seem like slaves. The rumor is that even Harriet Tubman understood this. The rumor is that she said, I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they'd known they were slaves. Well, welcome to modern America. Pirbright also coached Henry S. Welcome and Sir Henry M. Stanley in their rapacious acquisition of valuable African poisons and cures used in extensive vaccine experimentation on human beings, including Black and Boer, German, Dutch, and French prisoners, you know, which again calls to mind things like Unit 731, but that wasn't a Japanese creation per se. I digress, again, for random free association, perhaps not so random. Prisoners they had put in concentration camps and performed fatal Welcome Trust drug experiments. These things are linked also, by the way. Pirbright gave Cecil Rhodes an almost free hand in the British South Africa Company to write laws, collect taxes, and run his own police force in their new British imperial fascist corporatism model for reorganizing the British Empire while continuing to control the resources of their colonies even after home rule was implemented, like Rio Tinto Global Mining Company, including uranium, that is also a Rothschild creation for the British crown that the monarch controls to this day. Viscount Alfred Milner, co-founder of the Pilgrim Society, was Rio Tinto chairman from 1923 to 25 and earlier a director for many years. So, I mean, some of this should ring a bell, as like my grandfather used to say, everything old is new again. That's a little bit on this piece. You can read more for yourself. It's I think it's pretty fascinating, but it's a dive into history, and also, you know, it's a really good, I think, marrying up of the history and the now, particularly with COVID stuff in mind. So just skipping ahead a little bit, February 20, 2020. Is that a palindrome of sorts? Who knows? Once we discovered that the coronavirus was created and patented, U.S. patent number 10130701 by the Pirbright Institute, Woking, Pirbright, Surrey. We were compelled to learn more about this Pirbright organization and the village of Pirbright. See previous post. That's linked, of course. United States Patent, Bickerton et al., U.S. 10130701B2, November 20, 2018. Okay. Spirit Journal of Virology, 2005, Volume 79, Number 6, pages 3391 to 3400, etc. One of our conclusions from this investigation is that the Pirbright Institute is very evidently part of the Pilgrim Society's 200-year Rhodesian plan to create an unelected one-world government where America is made subservient to the Pilgrim Society and its United Nations. And, you know, as Aaron and Melissa Dykes have pointed out, I mean, there was obviously the League of Nations, which didn't quite stick, I think, the way that bad guys had intended, even though, again, they don't mind doing the iterative thing. They use, you know, Peter Thiel, Powell, and fellow Stanford alum Reid Hoffman's model of get to your minimum viable product, your MVP, as quickly as possible, and then iterate. So these guys have been doing this for hundreds of years already, so that's not a new concept either. So this says, as we are just now discovering, well, so the League of Nations, you know, didn't stick. We now have the United Nations. But as Aaron and Melissa Dykes have pointed out, that wasn't the first go-round either. You know, this whole one-world order thing, this back to, you know, really to me the best way to contextualize it, to make it not seem new and improved or, oh my goodness, or this just happened. It's just the same old efforts throughout history. You know, it's Neoplatonism and back to Genesis 6 through Genesis 11 or via Genesis 11. That's what it is. You know, if we could get back to Genesis 11, then like God said, they can do anything. They have the same language, the same purpose. You get them doing this thing where they convince the people everywhere that through this big Jedi mind trick, hey, you know what? We should all be building the Great Wall of China or whatever the thing is now. Every country and every people everywhere should be teaching STEM curriculum. In other words, building the Great Digital Wall of China and basically our own extinction, literally our own planned obsolescence. That's what transhumanism, posthumanism is, for Pete's sake. Anyway. So this continues, as we are just now discovering, Rhodes had a mentor for his plan, his 200-year plan. And the next image is an excerpt from a link to FBICoverup.com, Docs, Library, Rhodes 200-year plan. What a scope and what a horizon of work at any rate for the next two centuries. The best energies of the best people in the world, speaking of what I just mentioned, perfectly feasible, but needing an organization, for it is impossible for one human atom to complete anything, much less such an idea as the as this requiring the devotion of the best souls for the next 200 years. There are three essentials. One, the plan duly weighed and agreed to. Two, the first organization. Three, the seizure of the wealth necessary. Cecil Rhodes. And so this should also call to mind the discussion recently of, you know, Lark's point about eusociality, John in Tennessee's points about the bees, what we've talked about with the ants, and why society is being socially engineered to behave this way. It's the Rhodesian 200-year plan, which wasn't really necessarily Rhodes' plan. Anyway, continuing, you have this excerpt. And W.T. Stead, William Thomas Stead, comes into view. And also, you know, who died on the Titanic while we're at it? I told you, free associating. Political and religious ideas. W.T. Stead's Editor, the last will and testament of Cecil Rhodes, page 76, or page 89 of the PDF, review of reviews office from London. So who was W.T. Stead? You know, one of these intriguers. Who was W.T. Stead? Government by journalism. Speaking of what Patrick was just talking about. So continuing with this piece, as a direct result of investigations to track down the ownership of responsibility for the current coronavirus outbreak, a new ringleader in the creation of the Pilgrim Society, 1902, has just emerged from hiding in the history books. The tracing of patent ownership lineage of U.S. patent 10130701, coronavirus, led us to the Pirbright Institute, Surrey, UK, near Woking and Guildford. The man who appears to be the Pilgrim Society nexus point is not Cecil Rhodes, but who? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. My friend, yeah. I'm going to get to this real quick. Before I lose track of this thought, you know, on all of this. So I'll just say, you know, who is it? It's not Cecil Rhodes, but rather Rhodes Rothschild family mentor, Henry Rothschild de Worms, first Baron Pirbright, sometimes referenced simply as Lord Pirbright or Baron Pirbright. So that's a whole different discussion. Anyway, in this, you know, one of the things that you have linked in this, in the sidebar of this post is Barack Obama's conflicts of interest nightmare. That's another deal, but it's related in some ways. And so the point, though, that I'm getting to with all of this, you know, flurry of dots, et cetera, is the image represents, you know, connecting the dots. When we say that, what do we mean? And we think of the old, for example, you know, you think of the old TV and movie crime dramas where there are pins in a board, like on a map or something, with strings connecting the pins and stuff. There are different kinds of databases or database types. And in the database world, you would think, well, that would be called a relational database, right? No, a relational database is the tables that are related and stuff. That's a graph database. And the image that I'm referring to that's linked is of, you know, all of these connections that includes, well, all the who's who, you can read it. But you know what I'm talking about. It looks like a bunch of lines connecting all of these folks. And that's a graph database. And if you don't understand the significance of the graph database, I mean, this calls to mind, you know, you can go to Link Curious. When financial crime lies in the shadows, we turn the lights on. That's, you know, using graph data technology. But, you know, Facebook has the open graph. And they want it to be basically the world, kind of the Wikipedia of all of your personal information, your metadata, and so on. And to really kind of punctuate the, wow, how significant this is, if you go, you know, Neo4j is the big example of graph database technology. I've mentioned it several times. You know, the Panama Papers comes to mind. I've mentioned that. But if you go to neo4j.com and you just scroll down below that little hero section at the top, if you want to call it that, below the, you know, below the fold, so to speak, there's a section that says the graph data platform for today's intelligent applications. And you scroll down, says the graph technology leader, uncompromised performance, reliability, and integrity. The graphic on the right-hand side is a bunch of dots. And they show what looks like a lightning bolt basically going through these dots and connecting them from one end to the other, you know, kind of from the upper left of dots to the lower right, and from, you know, different areas doing the same thing. That's the significance of graph data. And bad guys obviously want to use this, weaponize it against you and I. And, you know, so for whatever that's worth, I think that's interesting. But again, this article, for what it's worth, if you haven't read it and you're up for a weekend read, Friday, February 28, 2020, coronavirus source discovered, also uncovers Lord Pirbright, a Rothschild, as key to the 140 your Pilgrim Society monopoly over world society, commerce, and war. So if there's any validity to this, I wonder why, I don't know, Brian Williams, or how about Brian Stelter, you know, All the Truth You Can Handle. Why hasn't Brian Stelter covered this? You heard it on Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.